The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Now, look, we've been talking to a lot of creative people today. James Vincent McMurray, we were talking about Van Morrison, another creative person. And of course, the most creative of them all, arguably, Vanilla Ice. And I think a lot of people during lockdown took the opportunity to get into a bit, trying to exercise a bit of creativity as well. I think a lot of people started writing a little bit, maybe even working on that book that we apparently all have in us. So Eva Walsh, who's the Director of Creative Writing in the School of English in UCC, is joining us now to offer some guidance on, you know, how you might do a bit of writing and how you might develop your writing. Good afternoon, Eva.
Hi there, Brendan.
Eva, does everyone have a book in them?
We all have really unique stories. Yeah. But it's very hard to get the confidence to move that book. I think we all have that trawl in our head saying, no, you can't do it, or why are you bothering doing it? I think all of us have a really incredible story, have stories we can tell, but getting it onto the page is so hard, making the book come alive. And having the self-confidence and sort of talking, not allowing ourselves to be put off by ourselves. Because being creative is great, but all of us have the thing that says, why are you bothering? Don't do it. So I suppose I want to say today,
even as someone who has written books and had them published and been very successful, do you still have that voice?
I do, because I'm working on something and I would read through it and I was thinking, why am I embarrassing myself with this? Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I know we're going to talk about a few good books by writers telling us how to kind of help us with our confidence. And one of them, Joyce Carol Oates, has a great book called The Faith of the Writer. And she has a fantastic essay called Notes on Failure, where she talks about that's kind of almost part of the process. Day after day, writing and thinking, why am I bothering? And you really have to persevere. You really have to get beyond that.
So then, is it something you really have to be kind of driven to do then? Like, it's not something you're going to do for fun, really, or to think, I'll dash off a book here and see if I can make a few quid. Like, it sounds that you have to, it's hard. Like, it's a lot of misery you're taking on.
It is. I suppose the reason I'm saying that is to encourage rather than to put people off.
Yeah.
Because when you write a book, you're thinking, am I the only one in the world that thinks this is, you know, this is hard work? There's a great example of someone who started writing is Edna O'Brien. And in her memoir, she talks about that her first novel, The Country Girls, which we love, still love. It's a brilliant book. She wrote it in, I think, about 6 weeks. And the miracle of something as beautiful as that being written so quickly, I think it's she's still writing. She's an amazing writer that's writing fantastic novels to this day.
Yeah.
But I think that's unusual. And I think it must have been a wonderful, she talks about it being such an exhilarating experience. My experience is it could take 2 or 3 years. And the rest of us, we have to, like, there's the rest of our lives. We have to work. We have to do all the things we do. And to find the time to work on your book every day, day after day. But I suppose one thing I have learned myself, and I think it's true for everyone, is that you have to keep at it and it has to be regular.
Yeah,
and
it has to kind of,
and you have to get that trawl out of your head that says, why are you bothering?
Well, they say the secret to writing is to sit down and write, isn't it? So just put yourself at the desk and do it, like.
Do it, take the risk. When I started writing my first novel, I thought, well, if I make a mess of this, who cares? And actually, I just kept going and kept going and kept going. And by the end, I didn't think I had a mess. And what I was talking about the negative things, but I want to talk about the positive things too, which is when you're in the middle of writing a book, if it's going well, it gives you incredible freedom. You're actually in control of a whole universe. And if you have a good day, it's like your world to work with. And if it's going really well, the people in your book, in your novel, are as real to you as you are to me now. Like if I was writing earlier this morning and then I was talking to you, I think, well, which was the moment I was talking to Brent and which was the moment I was actually had a conversation?
So they almost do things without you having to kind of tell them to do it at times. Like they'll actually start acting out the story for you.
If you're very lucky.
Yeah.
It's, if you're very lucky, it kind of takes flight. Somerset Maugham had this idea of what he called the imp in the pen. This little imp goes into the quill, like in the old days where you'd be dipping in your, and that it kind of dances.
Yeah.
Now that's when it's going well. So I suppose I did want to talk about the joy of it as much as the misery. Yeah, if you're enjoying the
absolutely.
Book.
And I can almost picture that when you're in the flow of it. It must be like kind of a piano playing itself almost. And listen, is there any way of knowing for people who are trying this out whether what they're doing is any good or not?
I think the first thing you have to do is stay with it yourself and be patient. Everybody says this, and I'm the most impatient person myself. But what you have to do, firstly, in my opinion, would be stay with it. Work hard at it, take your time, get it ready. And then when you feel it's ready to go, and one really good clue I've been given, and I'm trying to do as much as I can, is read it out to yourself. Be on your own in a room and listen to your own voice reading it out and see does it flow. And then when you have it done, I think then you start thinking about getting someone to read it.
Okay.
It's often useful to get someone close to you to read it, but they're going to really be behind what you're doing. If you're lucky, maybe get someone who doesn't know you, who doesn't know anything about what you're doing, reading it kind of dispassionately. And
presumably you need to be able to take a little bit of constructive criticism about your baby, yeah?
That's the very hard bit.
Yeah.
That's the very, very hard bit. I think it was, again, I was listening to Zadie Smith talking about writing, and she said, you know, the bit where you know where you're getting your book right or wrong is when you're standing up at a festival, and she'd be at, say, big festivals, and you're about to go on stage and you read over the piece you're going to do, and you're thinking, oh no, that sentence is wrong, that sentence is wrong. You can't always know yourself what the best thing is, but you have to take the criticism and you have to take it on board.
And listen, for somebody who has been maybe hearing through something, just like drafting it out and just kept going through it, is it best to get it all down first and then start going back to it? Or I know different people work different ways, that some people will write like 1,000, 1,500 words and then hone that or whatever. But I suppose for somebody starting out, is it best to kind of almost puke it all out onto the page and then go back?
I love the idea. Yeah, I think that's what actually is the good, it's a good phrase. Do you know what? You have to find your own way of doing it. I can't do that. I start, say, the first day of the first book and I write maybe the first three or four pages. But every subsequent day, I still go down through those pages to get to the next page.
Yeah.
So I'm adding bit by bit by bit. Someone else might do exactly what you said. Sit down and just go for it. Don't reread, don't do anything. But the key to, I think, getting it to a place where other people can start reading it is crossing out, going through it, crossing out, getting rid of the things.
Yeah.
So you find
and things that you're very attached to.
You're thinking yet more of my beautiful prose has to be has to go. Like the world has lost this beautiful moment, you know.
Yeah.
So you find your own method to do it. You either write the whole thing, you write it piece by piece, you write in the morning, you write in the evening, you write, you know, I heard you talking earlier about kind of times of exercise and that, and I'm kind of a bit like you. By the evening, you're thinking, oh gosh, I don't know if I'm, but you find your time. People write through the night, they write through the morning. The only thing I can say is I feel when I'm working on something, I need to write every day. Because I need, things occur to me at the most unexpected moments. I might be making my porridge or going for a walk or cleaning out the bin or something. And then you think, oh, what if you put her, if he meets her before they go to that thing, well, then she knows who this fella is coming into the meeting or something, you know.
Mm.
So,
like you'd hear a lot of writers who you would think would be people, you know, very highly literary writers who you imagine would jot things down when the muse takes them, will actually say, well, no, I sit down with discipline at a particular time every day and I write then. And well, they might be thinking about stuff in between. Is it like exercise? Is it good to just say, I'm going to make a routine here and take an hour every day maybe?
I make myself do that, particularly in the days where I think, this, why am I inflicting this nonsense on anyone? I'm embarrassed reading it. And actually, it's fine. It's usually fine or maybe needs a bit more work. So exactly that. It's for the days you think this is complete, where the trawl is saying to you, this is not worth listening to. So I think it's the regularity of it. I find on Monday, if I start, I hate it. And by Friday, I think it's actually not that bad.
Yeah.
That's for me. That's
okay.
The way it works
okay.
For me.
Do people need to do a creative writing course, do you think, or is it helpful?
I think it's very helpful if you can. Not everyone is free to do it. I teach one and I love working on it. I have other fantastic writers that I work with. And then for the students on it, they're all writing already. They've got time to spend on, you know, you were talking about that, getting feedback and criticism. Well, they're getting it day after day, maybe over a year or two. And, you know, we try and connect people to, you know, how to kind of get their work out there, reading it, reading in front of other people. If you can, not everyone can do it. Not everyone has the time or the resources to do it. If you can, it's, I didn't do it myself, but if you can get the time to do it, it gives you the backup of a lot of other writers.
Yeah, yeah. And even if someone can't do a creative writing course, you see, it's a funny thing about writing. You always think that it's a very solitary kind of thing. But then when you talk to writers and everything, and I think especially in Ireland, there's great support groups out there and they tend to all kind of help each other out and get together and stuff, don't they?
They do. We have a lot of students who come from outside Ireland to come and study, which we're great, delighted to have them. They come to UCC and they comment on Cork as a city, Dublin, all of Ireland has been a place where writing is respected and loved. And I think that's true. And if you think of all the festivals, you think of the kind of, if you look around, you see pictures of writers everywhere, how beloved our writers are. You know, look at say, I was talking about Edna O'Brien. There's a beautiful portrait of her gone up in the museum, in the embassy in London. It was on the newspaper. We all love, you know, she's so revered. Seamus Heaney, Éilean Bolan, so many wonderful people that were, when they passed, there was, you know, a national grief and a real one. So I think I think Ireland has a kind of a love and respect for writers. That's just what I've experienced.
Yeah. And in terms of if somebody is there struggling away in their own lonely garret and they haven't done it before, I suppose get out there and try and get involved with a group maybe and get that support. Yeah,
absolutely. Go to a writing group, take a class, go to some of the festivals. Like now I know it's going to take a while to get back to normal.
Yeah.
But like most of the good literary festivals, all the good literary have kind of writing groups and, you know, bookshops, go to readings, go along to kind of reading groups. We've Bloomsday coming up now, like all the events that happen for Bloomsday, most of them are going to be online. So yeah, we're a place where there are people. Books I'd recommend as well.
Yeah, okay. So you've got four books here now. You've mentioned the Joyce Carol Oates. Mm. The Stephen King one on writing, I know people say is absolutely fantastic.
It's just, you're gonna, I remember reading it a few years ago and I put it on one of my courses and most of my students have read it. You just read it from beginning to end. He's just so... The first thing he does, he tells the story of his life and how he got the inspiration for Carrie, how he got the inspiration for Misery, all those brilliant books. And then he just gives us all of the like practical, no nonsense advice about writing, really practical and really clear. Margaret Atwood has a great collection of essays called On Writers and Writing. And she talks about why she became a writer.
And why did she?
Well, she talked about kind of growing up in Canada. Her father was, and her parents were living kind of in the wild. And she kind of grew up kind of almost in the frontier. He was a biologist. And then she kind of got herself back into everyday life. And she kind of found it difficult to get back in. And she talked about this whole idea of, she said, talks about writing for her is going into the darkness to find a light. Now, that's her notion of, to kind of make sense of her world.
Yeah.
And she's a wonderful writer.
And another one then is George Saunders, A Swim in the Pond in the Rain. I don't know that one.
He's the guy who wrote Lincoln and the Bardo, and it was a huge, very successful novel. And it's basically all his classes. He takes five or six Russian short stories, Tolstoy, Chekhov, and he teaches them in the book. He goes through them piece by section.
So it's the craft again of how people put these things together.
And really readable as well.
Okay. Listen, there's a text here from Kath, right? And I think this is going to speak to a lot of people's novel that they have in them is probably about their family. Are people around them a lot of the time if they're new to writing. Kat says, I'd love to write about my incredibly interesting family, but I think none of them would talk to me afterwards. Of course, they do say that having a writer in the family is the greatest tragedy that can befall a family, don't they? But
except my family, they don't say that.
But you didn't sell them out, no?
Oh, it's a blessing. Yeah, no. Well, yeah, okay. You know, they're watching everything, they're seeing everything, you know?
Yeah.
But then they get really insulted if you do the worst thing and leave them out. Imagine having a writer in the family who doesn't write about you.
Yeah, yeah.
The horror of it.
Okay. But I'd say people be careful where they're taking their raw material from at the same time.
Well, Yeah. I couldn't possibly comment. Good luck to them.
All writers are sociopaths at the end of the day, aren't you? We're all just material to you, I think. But listen then, in terms of, so if somebody has something put together and they think it's kind of ready to go on that, so what's the next step? I believe an agent you're looking for more so than a publisher, is that?
Yeah, this would be my advice, very practical advice. Get the writer and artist yearbook. There's one every year. It has all the lists of the agents. So go online. Get your materials together, find an agent, but look at all the writers that you like and think of the writer that your book is most like. So it's the style of someone you admire. See who their agent is, contact their agent, one page letter, say exactly what you're doing. Don't give them your life story, just go through, this is the style of that, and offer to send them a sample of the book. And then the agent...
Okay, oh, so initially there's nothing sent, just the one page letter,
I would suggest that. And but describe what your work is like. Make sure it's as clean a copy as you can get. Get someone to do all the checking on it.
Yeah.
And then if you're lucky enough to get an agent, they're hard to get, they do the work to get you a publisher.
And I presume as well, don't be put off by the fact that the first 50 agents will not get back to you or say, no, thanks, we don't want to see the book.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Eivor Walsh, thank you very much for that.